Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. According to media theorist and author Douglas Rushkoff, today's teens don't need to be chased down by corporations the way they were in the past. Now, instead of selling products to the teenage audience, kids are selling products to each other through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Their likes, follows, retweets, and favorites are not only social currency, they're a very real currency for marketers who can turn all of that data into money. And Rushkoff explores the relationship between young consumers and companies and marketers in the new PBS Frontline documentary, Generation Like. It airs on Tuesday on SDPB-TV. Rushkoff has written several books on media, technology, and culture. His most recent book is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, and he joins us on the line. And Mr. Rushkoff, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Hi, good to be with you.
Now, Generation Like, as I understand, is a follow-up to your 2001 Frontline documentary, Merchants of Cool, which was about how corporate marketers manipulated youth culture. Now, a dozen years later, how much have things changed?
Well, in some ways, I guess the best thing we could say is same as it ever was. You know, a lot of people, when I talk about social media and how, you know, there's really corporations behind this and how kids' activities are often, either predetermined or exploited by people who they don't see and companies that they don't know about. You know, a lot of adults say, well, yeah, but isn't that how it was when we were kids? And to some extent, yes, only the difference now is that it's all happening under the guise of empowerment, the idea that kids are online creating their own media and determining who they are and developing a sense of self, this notion that they have so much agency and control of what they do, when really what they're doing is trying to construct identities using the pieces that are left behind them by, you know, big companies that don't have their best interests at heart and who exploit and mine every connection they make for the data it provides them.
So this is just the latest way that marketers are taking advantage of this desire for attention and validation.
Right. I mean, I guess the difference is, you know, when you or I were kids, you know, if we liked a band or were thinking about something, you know, we might, go to the mall and buy a poster and put it up on our bedroom wall. Now kids, you know, put it up on their Facebook wall. So this, the years of experimentation and personal development are no longer something that's facing you, that's looking in on you in your personal life, but it's a performative act. It's a very public performative phenomenon, and one that, you know, ultimately a lot of them try to professionalize, you know, whether it's by, getting enough likes that they can, become a singer or a writer or even just a marketer. It's kind of an odd circular career path where you need to get a bunch of likes and follows and retweets in order to have a career. And then what you do with that career once you make it is basically sell that social media audience to the highest bidder. You know, that's what everyone from, you know, Lady Gaga to Beyonce are doing is selling their the network, is selling the data that their network can be mined for.
In Generation Like, you focus on a couple of young people who are doing that very thing. One there's the young guy Tyler who uses social media to share his enthusiasm for the band One Direction, getting to the point where people at I think it was at a One Direction concert where, you know, he was kind of a almost sort of a star in his own right. The fans were cheering for him.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one of the promises of social media is that, you know, there are all these companies and celebrities out there who are asking for your likes, and there's an implicit promise that at least some of you are going to get liked back. You know, and when you get liked back by a famous person or a celebrity, you're going to get lots of likes. People are going to notice you. If Beyonce likes your photo or One Direction likes your comment, then all of a sudden, all of One Direction's fans or Beyonce's fans are going to look over and see, who is this person? And then you get followed and you get liked. So the the celebrity likers have to offer is that fame by association. And you know, Tyler's been doing this for 8 or 10 years, and now he's really a professional at that. But you look, what has he become? You know, he's basically become a social media marketer in the guise of a blogger or a YouTuber or someone who's sharing his personal narrative. But what his personal narrative really just is how he moved from this product to that product to this one. You know, he pretends that he's, you know, there's a line between fiction and reality is a little blurred, but you know, he kind of pretends that, oh, I wish the Taco Bell had a Cool Ranch dressing taco. You know, and he starts tweeting about that, and lo and behold, Taco Bell answers the tweet by coming up with this product, and then they let him have the first bite, and he can then, you know, tweet about that or put that on his YouTube channel. You know, these are not real events happening. This is it's really just a kid who's come up to become a product spokesperson.
So it's like these people like Tyler and others, I guess anyone that's on social media who puts all these things on their likes, that they're now doing the work for the marketers, doing their work.
Oh, they are. You know, if I used to criticize Facebook, I would say that, oh, you know, you're not the customer of Facebook, you're the product. You know, the customers are the big companies who are paying them. But we're not just the product of Facebook. It's not just our data that we're selling. We're actually the unpaid labor force. You know, there might be 10 or 20,000 people in California working explicitly for Facebook, but there's, you know, hundreds of millions of kids out there spending hours a day meticulously, tweaking their profiles, which is really just their consumer profile. What movie did I like? Did I like this movie better than that movie or this book or that rock star? So the kinds of data that marketers used to have to get in secret in some ways, or they'd have to spy on us to get, I mean, who needs the NSA if you're going to be posting all of your intimate details on your Instagram and your Twitter feed and your Facebook page anyway?
Do you find that, Douglas Rushkoff, alarming in any way?
I guess what I found alarming was not that kids didn't know that some of this was happening, but they really just didn't care. You know, there's a weird moment in the film where, you know, we get onto the subject of selling out and how these various musicians, you know, that they really sell their audiences. They don't make money on their records. They make money by selling us, by selling their listeners to advertisers. And you know, I asked a lot of kids about selling out, and you know, time after time after time, nobody knew what selling out meant. Most teenagers thought selling out meant, you know, if your concert gets sold out, that there's no more tickets left. They just had no concept of this idea of selling out as being some kind of breach of your artistic integrity. They weren't even familiar with that term. So that was the part that was kind of surprising to me. You know, what they don't know, you know, what the kids in Generation Like don't seem to understand is that these platforms that they're using are embedded with values. You know, that if you are out there just trying to get likes, then singing a good song isn't going to get you as many likes as we see in the case of this girl at the end of the film. It's, you know, it's showing her body will get more likes, or wearing a bathing suit and talking sexy will get more likes. Or there's a skateboarder in there named Steven from LA, a young 13-year-old boy who got, you know, he got some views for his skateboard tricks, but the minute he brings models into his videos and starts, you know, slapping them on the behind and talking dirty with them, all of a sudden he's got a million viewers of his YouTube channel. So what happens is, in order to get the only metric that matters in this space, which is likes, which is follows, in order to get a career, in order to get a sponsor or to get an advertiser, you need those likes, you need those views, you need those numbers high, that kids will end up really changing what they came for. They'll end up changing who they are and their self-expression in order to get those numbers. And that's where it's, that's where I don't think they're fully aware that the rewards they're getting may not be the ones that they really seek.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Douglas Rushkoff. He's a media theorist and author. He's also co-written the new PBS Frontline documentary, Generation Like, and it airs next Tuesday evening on SDPB TV. And Mr. Rushkoff, that's what I found, I guess, the saddest part of this story is that, particularly the young skateboarder, and how he's changed, where it's no longer important that he's a great skateboarder, but that he's trying to get attention now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reality is, you know, if you're going to use just raw numbers, you know, to judge everybody on some weird level playing field, I mean, things are going to revert to the least common denominator. You know, it's we saw it at the beginning, you know, and when I was a kid on as cable TV came up and reality TV, you know, we saw Cops or the Jerry Springer Show, and people were getting upset by that and TMZ and gossip and all. But if you take that to the nth degree, instead of it being, you know, 200 cable channels competing, it's 200 million teenagers competing, it is going to be the quick thing. It is going to be the kid that falls in a ditch or uses something that I think we ended up cutting it out of the film because it was just too horrible. Something called a fart mask, which I won't even, if viewers are interested, they can look that one up. And the things that get the most hits are going to be the things that are like car crashes. So kids need to emulate their car crash in their own life, in their style of self-expression. And yeah, it's going to go down to the basest, kind of darkest, most pornographic stuff. You know, the quality material doesn't tend to elevate because it's not going to get the most views. So, you know, we find out that the star of Vampire Diaries, I mean, he's a nice enough guy, Ian Somerhalder, who most of you probably haven't heard of. He's one of the, you know, top 10 most popular people in social media. You know, and it's not going to be your Brad Pitt or your Anthony Hopkins. It's not going to be those people or those kinds of movies that are elevated in this world.
How, you portray that this world of social media and how these teenagers and young people are so involved with this. Is this something that can you say that all people of that generation are those likes are that important to them and they're that deep into social media and sharing everything, or is it just these people that you talk with in the film?
Well, you know, we start out with some pretty, I guess, normal teens, you know, and pretty sophisticated kids at the beginning. They're, you know, these kids from a fairly affluent part of New Jersey, and they, they go to a good high school, and they're all college bound, and they seem to have some perspective on their social media use. They're not, they're not these kind of edge cases of completely addicted kids, but they do understand that the way that they're presenting to the world matters. You know, this is a space where they do spend a lot of their time. The way they construct, you know, the way they craft their identities really is influenced by the shape, by the bias, by the slant of these platforms. And they don't really, I mean, while they maybe think about it a little bit, they're not looking at how these applications and websites are really partners in the way they develop who they are. You know, a lot of them are just hoping that they can they're going to either change their name or abandon their social media identity when they graduate college so that they can start fresh after that. I don't know how realistic that is, but you know, a lot of them are kind of talking about doing it that way. But no, they're not all these, you know, terrible victims. A lot of them are truly empowered. But I do think that we all, you know, them and us, we do need to look at the way this landscape asks for things from us. You know, what is it asking for? What is it given return? You know, who is running this show? You know, we always ask about, oh, you know, what is this person going to do to someone else through social media? But, You know, we very rarely look at, you know, who owns this space and where is it pushing our culture at large.
Well, Douglas Rushkoff, Generation Like airs next Tuesday, and it introduced me to a world I guess I was only marginally aware of, so it was a fascinating documentary. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot for having me.
That's Douglas Rushkoff. He's a media theorist and author, co-producer and writer of a new PBS Frontline documentary, Generation Like. It airs on Tuesday, February 18th on SDPB-TV at 9 p.m. Central and 8 Mountain. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Steven Zwempke is the producer. We had assistance from Chris Loffrey. Coming up tomorrow, it's Tech Radio with the Computer Guys. And that's at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.